feel less alone. So, Joni DeRoche emailed me. She still has her car, but of course she no longer has her wallet, her billfold, her radio, one of her windows. And she's also had to put up a sign saying, nothing left to steal, please leave me alone.
Oh, my God.
Bam.
Where?
Vancouver. I mean, I knew this. 503-733, it is what it is. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. In just a moment, Tim Riley returns with more from the Ministry of Truth. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, rattling the journalistic work. Can anyone hear me? Never mind. I'll save that introduction for tomorrow. No one could hear that. Hello, Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles. How are you, sir?
I am well, sir.
All right. What's up in the City of Angels, my friend?
Did you fall down?
No.
Oh.
I think he thought that was louder than it was.
The bed sounded really loud.
No, it wasn't even peaking.
I was going to say straddling the journalistic world like a colossus.
Hmm.
Too bad we missed that.
Yes, too bad you missed that. It's golden. Polish that verbiage in my basement. Hey, let me ask you this. If I were to, Sarah, how's your life with this? If I were to,
Oh, Jim, you want me to ask?
You need a place to stay when you come to town.
Sarah Dillon,
right? Ooh, I'd love a tour of CNN. Oh, wait. Yeah, you do
There's
have one
CNN
there.
Building there, because I forgot to go there. I saw it. It says CNN on the front.
Yeah, we're getting there Friday night, and we're leaving Sunday night.
Oh, is that this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. If I were to ask about, let's say that there was a news organization somewhere. Let's say they were the Canadian News Network.
All right.
CANN.
Yeah.
If I was to ask about any sort of internal strife or discord happening there between some layer of management and one or more of CANN's reporters. Would you know anything about that?
Probably not. What do you know?
Really?
Yeah. I stay way below the radar, Chief.
Well, see, now it's all awkward. Sarah, do you want to take over, and I'll just kind of sit here and drink some coffee?
I'm eating.
You put it back on me. All I'm saying is, let's say...
Does Larry Diesel still work there?
Say that again?
Okay. Is Larry Diesel still a CNN employee?
Yeah.
All right.
But she hasn't been on any of the emails. Her name is completely gone.
They have a program, it's called Passport, where employees get to spend 30 days at another portion of the bureau to get to know that part of the company.
To get a feel for it.
Yeah, and she's doing that. And somebody is in her place in the radio division, I think.
Okay, well, here the only reason I ask is because we had Lisa Goddard on this morning, and you know Lisa Goddard is a professional. She's prim, she's proper, she's hilarious. She mentions DC Cab quite frequently. And so we had her on this morning, and I said, hey, Lisa, what's up? And she said, well, what about your life, Rick? And I said, pardon? And she said, I'm just trying to get the conversation off of me today. And I thought she meant sort of personally, and I said, oh, okay. And I thought maybe she'd had some sort of a fight with the fiance, or she broke a heel, or she had gout or something, you know, just whatever. And she must have sensed that that's what I was thinking, because she volunteered. She said, just so you know, I'm having a fight today with the network about a news decision, about a news reporting decision, a news reporting judgment call, something like that. So she's apparently embroiled in some sort of heated argument with the network about a judgment call that she made news-wise. And I, of course, because I am not that guy, I didn't want to press her and make her feel uncomfortable and awkward, so I thought I would do that to you.
I wish I knew.
All right. Well, see now the intrigue it simmers. Because, see, now you know exactly as much as I knew. So, all right. Just so you know. So that is that energy, that vibe. It is floating around out there. Those things are in the ether today, my friend.
I don't see anything weird going on as far as messages back and forth to people.
Now, see, is it like an email thing you monitor, or like a message board? Or
could be.
Yeah. Something, it's possible, Rick. Something like that.
At CANN?
The Canadian News Network, yeah. Network. All right, just so you know. So there's apparently some sort of a tiff, some sort of a kerfuffle between Lisa Goddard and higher-ups this morning at the CANN.
I don't know, but I hope they, you know, it works better if a network gives the reporter or the correspondent their head because they know their territory.
Right, right.
And if they are professionals, they make fairly decent news judgments.
No, you know, and Lisa strikes me as a woman who knows what she's doing. She doesn't strike me as a woman who, you know, who goes off half-cocked or anything.
But
so.
CNN, in the 7 years I've worked for them, has never questioned anything. Well, they question everything I do, but they don't fight me about it. They just say, are you sure?
They shake their head sadly and walk away going, he's going to screw us all.
Nobody else wanted that L.A. gig, so...
Fantastic. Well, there you go. So I'm just saying, so if you said, I'm trying to give you the heads up, so we'll have... So if you should hear speaks of that, you know what I'm referring to.
Sure. All not right. that I monitor the Canadian news networks, but
no.
I hear of something, I would be happy to let you know.
No, and in no way would I wish for anybody to enclose any of the internal workings or perhaps disagreements that might happen. That would be wrong. I cannot advocate, condone, promote, endorse, or encourage any such activity. That would be wrong, Jim Roop.
There you go.
Let's talk about this word of the year. Now, we mentioned this last week, the American Dialect Society.
Yeah.
Is this just a bunch of guys in, like, powdered wigs who sit around in a club somewhere, like, with brandy snifters? They came up with some word of the year, and it's a word that I've never heard before, ever.
Well, but it makes sense. I mean, you're right. I've never heard it either. But it makes sense how they... turned Pluto into a verb and for what reason. But this is the American Dialect Society began back in 1859.
You're reading this off a piece of paper, aren't
no,
you?
No, as God is my witness, I'm not.
Okay.
I just unfortunately know this.
Okay.
And it's just a bunch of guys who study the English language and as it's used in North America and other languages too and other dialects too and how they affect the English language and how the English language affects those languages and dialects. And it's dictionary editors, you know, mathematician guys, academics, and regular folk.
Mathematician guys. That's the technical name. That's the collegiate.
Well, apparently there are guys whose job it is to catalog mathematical terms.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Those guys must get all the chicks. I can't even imagine the active dating cycle that one of those guys
must
have.
Can you imagine the bar conversation?
No, I cannot. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
It's a whole game of Cry Bastion going on. We don't know about it.
So the word of the year is Plutoed, which means, and the word, what does it mean?
It means to demote or devalue something or someone like the Astronomical Society did to Pluto. It downgraded it from planet status.
All right.
So if you're Plutoed, you're demoted, downgraded, your girlfriend dumps you, whatever.
Okay, so...
But you don't want to be Plutoed.
Let's use Plutoed. Please now, Jim Roop, to be using Plutoed in a sentence regarding something that has happened at CNN. We'll just wait here while you...
A former New York correspondent is Plutoed to an internet talk show. After however many years of... Wonderful service to CANNA network.
You modified that on the fly. You changed that on the fly. You were getting, Sarah and I both detected that you were going to say something else, and then you changed horses midstream there,
you know,
Jim Roop.
You got to be able to do that, baby.
Fantastic. God bless you, sir. Hey, while we got you on the phone, we're talking about, not really talking about, I was ruminating on, and then because it's my show, I just forced people to listen. I forced people to talk about whatever I'm interested in. And we got into this discussion about, and I'm not going to say cute because that makes me sound like some sort of weird perverted stalker that keeps children manacled in his basement, and I'm not really that guy. But former...
you know that guy.
I do. That guy lives next door to me.
There you go.
Formerly aesthetically pleasing child stars who then became unspeakably ugly.
Oh, okay.
Anybody leap to mind?
The chick from Facts of Life.
Which one?
I don't know.
Oh, Blair, Lisa Welchel.
Yeah.
Not really a child star, she's more of a teen star, but you're right. Boy, God, is she ugly.
Yeah.
She really, she looks like some sort of an upended mop that then has just had like a rudimentary, rudimentary clay kind of shoved into the middle where the face should be.
I saw her about a year or so ago at some family television thing, and I didn't recognize her at all.
No, and I think Sarah actually had her picture on her blog, and she put like a side-by-side of like then and now, and boy, it's just all kinds of... Man, I knew I was right to have a crush on Tootie all along. She retained her looks, that girl.
Yeah.
let's talk to Alex. Alex, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
What's up?
The kid from Jerry Maguire was very aesthetically pleasing as a young boy, but I saw him on VH1 and he looked rather freakish. same thing goes, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Macaulay Culkin, he looks like Ren from Ren and Stimpy.
No, it's true, and he's got weird teeth, and he's all, every time I see him, he's all scabby.
Yeah, and it's like, it looks like he just got done jogging, you know?
It's
like,
true.
Kind of sweaty.
No, he's what Sarah would call shiny. And again, it looks like he's always been off in a corner sort of picking at himself and maybe muttering a little bit.
Or no, he's stone / tired / Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, no, and he's got those eyes that, like, it hurts my eyes just to look at his eyes. You know what I mean? They look,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Not just bloodshot, but literally like someone has just been sitting there just sanding them.
Yeah, it makes me upset.
There's nothing wrong with spending the night with Michael Jackson.
No, well, which of us hasn't done that? All right. Thank you, Alex. All right, my brother. I will let you, I'll turn you loose on the people of Southern California again. If you should hear about anything happening to anybody at the Canadian News Network, you be sure to let Uncle Rick know about those things.
I can promise you that I will, sir.
All right. Thank you. You have a great day, Jim Roop.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent in Los Angeles. All right. Tim Riley joins us in mere seconds here. It's 503-733-2970. Rick. This is totally true. Let's not forget Emmanuel Lewis. See, there's two different sides to this coin. There's Gary Coleman, who stayed fundamentally unchanged. Gary Coleman now and Gary Coleman then, you put side by side, you'd really be hard-pressed to, I guess, given enough time and adequate scientific resources and tools, you could determine Gary Coleman then from now. But in the first blush, it's going to be hard to tell because he's retained his... Not youth, he's just not changed. He's sort of caught in amber, like one of those Jurassic Park moths. Emmanuel Lewis, once cute, now creepy. Looks like he's ready to be drop kicked. I think he's saying that he looks like a football. It's true. And then he just says wet pressure washing. That's his business. Okay, I don't understand what. Let's move on. Here's Tim Riley.
Thank you. From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, now that the Democrats are in control of Congress, expect Hillary Clinton to say something every day. She was speaking at an economic summit in Manhattan. She says changes are needed, including the Republican way of awarding tax cuts to the very rich.
Taxes have gone up on middle-class people in America in the last 6 years.
I'm going to kill you
and
all.
They have fallen dramatically on people in the top 1%. Now, with all due respect, it is not rich people who made this country great. It is hard-working Americans.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Hillary Clinton knows all about that. Yes, she does. She says many leaders in financial institutions know what it's like to be a hard-working American.
Many of them came out of working families.
Working.
They came out of middle-class background.
Not working.
They
working.
Came up the hard way, many did. And I asked them, do you think that our country's headed in the right direction? And privately, they'll say no. I'll say, well, then you've got to be part of the solution, not just part of the problem.
Wait, oh, no, I don't know. No, I tried to be ready with the...
A new direction.
No, I didn't have that. But listen to how she drops the G on this.
Many of them came out of... Working families.
Working. Oh, it's so fake. It hurts my spine. It just hurts my bones to hear that.
She's had plenty of time to rehearse.
Seriously, it just makes me... This is where they've got her in some room where she's gone to, you know, she's taking a crash course in what feelings look like so she can emulate them.
She's going to have some mashed potatoes.
Taters. That's what she's going to have. I'm going to have some taters with this working man here in this city.
Well, let's talk about that order in Midtown Manhattan. Some people thought it was gas. Con Ed is trying to find out what happened, and Con Ed spokesman Joe Pettiter says he doesn't know very much.
Anything we say right now would be pure speculation. It was a gas-like odor. That's the only thing we know. What we know is that we found no leaks, and we're still out there investigating.
All right. So there. Time for a Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Monday. Puny humans.
Modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar's Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Director George Lucas says the filming of the much-anticipated Indiana Jones movie will begin next year, and he promises it'll be the best one yet.
I'm sorry, and the best part is that Sarah can't even bring her. She just shakes her head sadly. Like, Sarah didn't even look over from the monitor, just continues to click away and just sort of shakes her head from side to side.
Harrison Ford is going to star in this.
Harrison Ford. And, you know, well, I'll let you... I'll let you.
So this is kind of like a Rocky movie?
Yeah, I'll let you finish the story, and then we'll go back and fill in the blanks about why this movie's going to suck.
The 62-year-old filmmaker was interviewed at the Beverly Wilshire, where he was taking a break from his duties as Grand Marshal of the Rose Parade, not to be confused with ours. The fourth chapter of the Indiana Jones saga, which will hit theaters in May 2008, has been in development for over a decade, with several screenwriters taking a crack at the script. But only Lucas kept mum about the plot. He said he promised the action flick will have a character piece, and that'll include very interesting mysteries.
Mm-hmm. So Harrison Ford is what, 62?
Yeah. 60-something.
And they've said that they're not going to try to young him up. In other words, they're going to have him play Rocky Balboa style. Yes, Jim. They're going to have him play his actual age. Who knows why this is a terrible idea? Anyone?
Because he's god-awfully ugly right now?
He's still ruggedly handsome in his own...
No, that his schnoz is, like, growing. It's distracting. It's, like, it's distorted his whole face.
The rest of him is... Maybe just the rest of him is receding, and the nose is staying the same size.
So why do you think it's a bad idea?
Here's why it's a bad idea. I'm not opposed to an aged Indiana Jones.
No.
In principle, like it. I'm okay with that. There was Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade where, you know, he had his father, Sean Connery, and that was okay.
But see, that's a beautiful older man.
Well... Okay, so, see, but you guys, see, I'm not
it
you,
is,
though.
Well, you know what? You guys get all this eye candy, but we're expected to accept older men for who they are when they're all these women
they're
portrayed.
Dignified.
Exactly, and, you know, older women don't get cast in
movies. What about a walking stick and a cape?
No, I see, that's what I'm saying. I'm okay with this being his Indiana Jones and the Last Hurrah, the whatever, Indiana Jones and the blah, 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 you know, where he's the old guy and the one final, you know, crusade or the one final archaeological thing. I'm okay with that. Sarah and I are looking, you and I are looking at it from different sides of the fence, because you're all about you wanting some hot guy you can stare at. I'm just
well,
all
because
about the
you guys are obviously going to have some hot girl to stare at the entire time, and we're stuck with him.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, though.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
saying, no. Here's why it's going to be a terrible movie. Here's why his age is going to make it bad. Because his age is going to require that he have a young sidekick, and he's totally going to have some idiot like 13-year-old wisecracking.
If it's Orlando Bloom, I will never see it ever.
It's not going to be. But you know,
Dakota Fanning.
No. Yeah, that exactly. And
I
you
just
know
made that
they'll
up.
Make it a girl. They
is it going to be
it?
Some? Oh, is some woman going to show up on his doorstep with a child that he had? Oh, no.
Oh, that's too horrible to even contemplate. That's like when we sat there. Did you see Rocky Balboa
yet? No, but did we get it?
We didn't get now. Before we went on vacation for the holidays, we sat and we were thinking through a scene that we surmised that we expected would be in Rocky Balboa. It wasn't there entirely, but we got large sections of that right. We got large chunks of that whole scene between him and whoever the weird big mouthed Irish woman was. And we got whatever her name is. I've got a huge mouth. That woman. She looks. Her face kind of looks like that little Shop of Horrors, like the Seymour plant.
She has a great personality.
We got big chunks of that. Correct. Whole sections of stuff that we speculated on showed up in Rocky Balboa. Not so much as to be like cringe inducing, but it was there. No, this is exactly what it'll do. It'll be him because they can't do him.
But he already had a sidekick in Temple of Doom.
That's why it's got to be a girl this time because they've already paired him with a young smart aleck boy. Now a young smart aleck girl. He starts off disliking her. Pretty soon they like each other. Then he's, like, saving her from something, and then she saves him from something. And then at the end, he, like, hands her the fedora and the whip or the, you know, whatever, and then she takes over the adventures. And then they spin it off into a terrible television show, and then I kill myself after ritualistically slaughtering George Lucas and everybody who works for him.
Now, do you think he falls in love with the girl's mother at the very end when he returns her back safely?
I don't know. No, I know exactly what they'll do with this, too. Now, it's been a while since I've seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. It was at the Hollywood this year, and I missed it. It was on the big screen with the most phallic poster I've ever seen, by the way. I do not remember the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom poster being so phallic. I don't think you can see it online now. I think they have to have changed it because they were showing... They were showing a bunch of classic films. Are you looking it up?
Yes.
They were showing the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom at the Hollywood Theater, and they had a vintage poster, and I swear to God, I'm doing that thing now where nobody can see it, but I'm method acting. Indiana Jones is standing there, not really in profile, but like a three-quarter profile, so you can kind of see his front. He's standing there, back, you know, he's leaning back, thrusting his pelvic area out.
Oh.
And then, no. And then, see, it's like that one, but the one I saw was even more so. And then he's holding the machete out front. It's like a huge pseudo-penis.
Oh, God.
He's pushing out his pelvis, and he's holding the machete dangling out in front of him just as a huge, like, metal manhood. It's a huge phallic scimitar, is what it is. Anywho, so it's been a while since I've seen Temple of Doom. But see, right there, that's close. That's close to what it was.
Yeah.
And that's very phallic itself, right there. It's been a while since I've seen Temple of Doom. I don't think they've ever explained what happened to Karen Allen's character from the first, from Raiders of the Lost Ark. So here's what they will do. They will spend the first 90 minutes pounding nails into my soul by having Indiana Jones paired with a wisecracking Dakota Fanning type 13-year-old. It might even be Dakota Fanning because Steven Spielberg worked with her in War of the Worlds. Then at the end, they will gang rape my childhood by having Indiana Jones meet up again with Karen Allen.
Yeah, that is obviously his true love.
And they'll totally do it. They'll do it just the way Rocky Balboa pushed all of the emotional buttons by bringing in everybody who was in, like, the first Rocky film. And then I'll have to go toss myself off a bridge somewhere. Probably the I-84 one, not so much the one that goes over I-5. That's as I understand
it. Not the pedestrian bridge.
No, that's how the cool kids kill themselves. Oh, hey, this, Rick. Hey, want to jump your way to a glorious freeway death? Do it in Vancouver, Washington. We have no annoying fences to climb on any of our overpasses, and the rails are only chest high. Stop fiddling around in Oregon and come get the job done in beautiful Vancouver.
Nah.
All right. Let's see. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. No problem with Indiana Jones playing 62. That age gap's going to mean there's going to be no Nazis. And that was one of the big problems with
Temple
of Doom, was that the bad guys weren't something that Western audiences could really understand.
And you really, let's be honest, you really can't get a better villain than Nazis. I mean, really, Nazis, they're the gold standard of villain. I mean, they're the best bad guy there ever was. I mean, in terms of cinematic presence...
Can't beat Nazis for the bad guys.
No, it's true. All right, there you go. Thank you. That's Chris. All right. Should we break?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley. We'll pay another visit to the Ministry of Truth. And then back after an extended hiatus, we revisit the top five right here on the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. It's AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. You're into the conflict. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up next hour, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Like is at 3, Don and Mike at 7. Don't let me forget, we got to bring Scotty Jane to talk to Scotty about that thing. Thing that in no way will be embarrassing or awkward for anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, before we roll your top five for today. Oh, no. Typing no on the screen won't help you, Scotty. I think the answer is yes. Let's revisit the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Saved by the Bell in Beverly Hills 90210 alumni, Tiffany Thiessen has a new role. ABC has announced that the actress will join the cast of
Rick Emerson.
What About Brian in the next few weeks?
Oh, I love her.
She will play Natasha Dillon, a former intern of Dave, played by Rick Gomez, who becomes his boss at the video game company where he works. She has also become involved in the life of Brian, played by Barry Watson, and Adam, played by Matthew Davis. 32-year-old Thiessen played Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell and Valerie Malone in 90210. Also joining the cast of ABC's What About Brian in the coming weeks are Dancing with the Stars alumni Stacey Keibler and actress Jessica Swar.
Stacey Keibler. Boy, let's talk for a second about how hot Tiffany Amber Thiessen is. She's not Tiffany Amber anymore, right?
No,
she's Tiffany Thiessen.
She's no longer Amber.
Boy, she is still... I mean, I haven't seen her in a while. I think the last time I actually saw her in anything... Maybe, I don't know, I'm getting my timelines mixed up. She was in Hollywood Ending, which is a Woody Allen film. Not a very good one, but she was in that, where she was in a bathing suit for most of the film. And then she was in that episode of whatever, where she was making out with Jamie Presley in a hot tub. What the hell show was that? She was in... What?
Are you sure?
Yes, there was... It was
that cop show.
That's what I'm saying. Would I make that up?
No, well, maybe.
I mean, that is the kind of thing...
That cop show from a long time ago that lasted for like three episodes.
Yeah, and it was really awkward, too, because Jamie Presley looked so much like Christina Carlson, who was on the show at the time, and that's... I got to tell you, I watch My Name is Earl a lot, and it still freaks me out because there's just that. I mean, to say that Christina and Jamie Presley have a passing resemblance to one another does not really do it justice. They really are absolute dead ringers for each other. And so there was all this awkwardness when there was that show where Tiffany Thiessen and Jamie Presley are making out in a hot tub. Anyway, the point is, she's hot, and I hope she hasn't. I hope she hasn't gone all hideous, because that's the thing. You look away sometimes, then you look back, and those actresses, they become terrible. Case in point, Rick, about Indiana Jones 4. It will be even worse than you can possibly imagine. With Karen Allen enjoying her new career selling custom sweaters, is that true? The next most shriveled, weathered, shrunken head-looking actress already close to the project, ideal to be the female lead, has to be Harrison Ford's wife, Calista Flockhart. They're not married, are they? I thought he was with
them. They're dating.
Really?
They've been dating for like 4 years, though.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, so that's no good. All right, here's Tim Riley.
What about the gigantic boulder? Will that be back? Maybe it'll be a ball of yarn.
Oh, I thought you were talking about an actress for a second.
No, like no.
Gigantic
no.
boulder. Being chased by a huge, there's a joke there somewhere, but I don't know what it is. But you know, but that's exactly what they'll do. You know that they will do that Rocky Balboa thing.
Yeah.
They do that actually in Last Crusade, where it's right before they go to the rats and they're walking through and he says, you know, she says, "What's that?" And she's pointing at the cave painting, and he's like, "Ark of the Covenant. Are you sure?" And he says, "Pretty sure." And then there's the beat, so we can all laugh, and then they move along. But you know that the Indiana Jones movie will be full of that kind of self-referential crap. I want them to stop. I want them to stop now. But they won't. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Bill Gates is excited about Xbox and his company's upcoming Windows Vista release. He told the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas that the Xbox will soon be a living room device that does it all, thanks to the new Windows Home Server number 4.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we were doing sound yet.
Yes.
Windows Home Server is for homes where you've got...
This, by the way, is the kind of clarity you can expect from the audio portion of the Xbox. They can't even record sound properly.
This Windows Home Server is for homes where you've got either multiple PCs or Xboxes, a case where you want to have your storage available at all times through the different devices.
I don't really know what he's saying there, but let's assume that it's smart.
There are 1.5 million devices that'll work with Windows, Vista, and Xbox.
Backup devices, video devices, DVD devices, a lot of rich capabilities where we're showing off those hardware advances for the first time.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, let's talk to... Sarah's showing me text messages that I can't repeat on the air.
You have to say that's pretty sweet, though.
Okay, can I repeat some of that on the air?
You can repeat some of it.
Okay, so Sarah's going to Los Angeles this weekend.
Storm Large is going to be there at the
same time. So Storm, it looks like, is going to be your tour guide.
Where is she? Is she playing anywhere, or is she a civilian?
She's been there all week. She has a bunch of stuff going on.
Doing a thing. So Storm's going to be there, and Storm's pretty much your best tour guide, you know, for you. I mean, for someone such as yourself, Storm is pretty much the best person to take you there. So Storm is, how should I put this?
Storm is there with some friends that I think we're all familiar with.
Some men that you may have spent a lot of time watching this year, last year.
Yeah, and I get to meet some of them this weekend.
Oh. Along with descriptions of, so Storm is texting Sarah during the show, noting that some of the gentlemen that maybe you may have watched a lot on television last year will be in L.A. at the same time, and then she's describing which of those men may be, by her estimation, theoretical, I'm sure, enjoyable to spend time with for one night of love.
Oh, boy.
Shane.
This is going to be a fun vacation.
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, never mind. Fine. What's up?
Hey, I got the name for that cop show.
Yeah.
For Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Fastlane.
Fastlane. That's right. And it was on for like a day and a half. And it was just, it was really like the show was only on just so they could get her to make out with Jamie Presley in a hot tub. That was like the show's sole purpose.
You're exactly.
Right. Thank you. I bet that's on YouTube. I'm going to do that right after the show. and let's pretend I said that inside. Shane, thank you.
Sure. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you. That'll be it. Well, that'll help. That was out loud too, wasn't it? Damn. Let's talk to, Sarah's just texting like a fiend over there.
What? I've got to respond.
Uh-huh.
She's a woman of all time.
Yeah, seriously. So Storm is offering to hook you up with Any number of the male cast members of Rockstar Super.
No, we're all going to go out on Saturday night. Lisa, if you're listening, we're going to have the best time ever.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I didn't. She was just supposed to be there last week, and I didn't think the weekend
I'm
would
totally,
cross over.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now, again, Rick Emerson is a gentleman. And as I noted to Lisa Goddard earlier today, I am not that guy. But here's the thing. If you are going to L.A. this weekend, Storm looks like she's going to be your guide while you're down there for the nightlife. If several of the male competitors from last year's Rockstar Supernova are going to be there, I'm going to write down a couple observations and predictions, and I'm going to seal those in an envelope. And when you come back, we'll just see what happened and what did not. Before we continue with the news, let's briefly...
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
I know exactly who your first choice would be, too. Aaron, Geek in the City. Hello, sir.
Hey, man. Sarah's going to get some... She's going to get some supernova while in L.A.
Okay, Aaron.
Oh, what? Like, somebody had to make
a
joke.
No,
I was just sitting there. Say it. So, you know,
thank you for doing it so I didn't have to. It was all teed up, but I...
You've been creepy enough all day already. I'll take one to the team on this one.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Okay, so the thing about Indy 4, I couldn't let it go.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be... You know who the kid's going to be?
No.
It's going to be Indy and Marion's kid.
Oh, you're right. It's going to be his kid with Karen Allen.
Indy's going to be in retirement, and, you know, the government's saying, well, strip. You know, but who can we send to pull Indiana out of retirement? And it's going to be some young buck government worker who just has a little bone to pick with his dad.
That's right. His dad, who was never there for him growing up.
That's right.
And the dad, he's like, my dad was never there. He was always off on adventures. You know, all of these precious artifacts and these little pieces of wood were so, blah, 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 you know, blah, you know, these inanimate objects were more important to you than your own flesh and blood. And they'll be having...
He wouldn't even come visit me even after mom died.
Oh! And they'll be having that argument as they're in a cave and literally rock walls are collapsing around them. They're on a rope bridge that's fraying above a pit filled with alligators and lava.
That's right. Even after, like, the armies of the Red Men. It's going to be the Russians. It can't not be. It's going to be the Russians.
And they'll be having the argument in the cave as their seconds from a certain death, Indy and his son, having the fight about why did you never love me and why did you miss all my birthday parties.
That's right. You swear you'd never be like, and you're just like him, and that's going to make Indy snap.
Oh, and totally. And it dovetails so well with the relationship he had with Sean Connery. And
yeah, he'll also be dead.
And and it pays off that line from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I was a child. Yeah. What was wrong with me?
You are such a nerd. Where Karen Allen notes that Indy gave her the, you know, gave her the hot, sweet love when she was a young thing.
That's right.
Oh,
see?
All right. No, it's all horrible.
He writes himself.
Well, it's great. Now I don't have to see it. All right. Thank you. All right. There you go. It's Aaron, Geek in the City. And it says here on the screen, I can't let it go. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, where am I?
I have no idea. I'm sorry. We got all sidetracked.
We did. About 500,000 Chinook salmon have been killed at a Central Oregon fish hatchery.
Well done.
After workers accidentally turned off the water.
Oh, I...
Really?
Yes. I'm afraid so.
That story went wrong in, like, three different ways. A, because I thought it was like they were supposed to, and so I was giving them kind of a well done, sort of a good on you, kind of a, like, I thought maybe it was killing time. But no. And then they didn't even die from anything interesting. They died why?
Somebody turned off the water.
That's like that horrible thing about Lynyrd Skynyrd, how it's just like the plane ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. There's nobody. Should we check it?
No, we're fine. Just get on the plane.
We're late. Well, there you go. Here's Tim Riley, kids.
Prince William and Harry will pay tribute to their late mother next summer without their father being present. Prince Charles will leave his country home in Britain
to avoid
overshadowing his son's concert. The 58-year-old prince and his wife, Camilla, will have a foreign tour to prevent speculation over whether they'll attend the memorial concert July 1st, which has been organized by the princes William and Harry to mark the 10th anniversary of her mother's tragic death.
I'm sorry, I really... I missed this. Prince Charles will be where?
He'll be abroad.
But with what?
Camilla, the Duchess of Cornwall.
Nah, it was a lot funnier in my head. The timing was all off on that. Well, never mind. And so forth. All right, let's do one more, and then we'll do the top five and this whole unfortunate thing.
Jessica Simpson's father is reportedly furious with her for turning down a paid party with John Mayer. This was supposed to happen on New Year's Eve. Joe Simpson, who is also his daughter's manager, is said to have been contacted by a Las Vegas nightclub Pure and offered a large sum of money for Jessica for her to host the New Year's Eve party. Jessica told her that she wasn't interested in working on a holiday and wanted a quiet night with no glitz or glamour.
Oh, man. I bet the belt comes out so fast and so easy in that house. I bet there's just a whole... This is just my speculation, comically, though, as an entertainer, which I say for satiric purposes.
Yes.
I bet there's a whole a cupboard in that house that's just full of things to keep those children earning. In the Sopranos lexicon, there is that thing about being a good earner. I bet there is that same thing in the Simpson household, and I bet there's a whole array of implements by which the earning is kept happening. All right.
Now, apparently, she spent the night partying with a star-studded bash at New York's Hudson Hotel, where musician John Mayer, who she previously denied dating, well, she was hanging out with him. New York Daily News says they were full-on making out. He was scratching her back, and they were kissing. It wasn't subtle.
I love the phrase full-on when it's used in a journalistic...
Full-on back-scratching.
Full-on back-scratching. Let's take one call about Supernova. And then we'll do the top five here. And I have the top five over here, Sarah. This is Amanda. Amanda, hug and kiss. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So you got to figure this out for me. Rockstar Supernova is supposed to be here on February 14th for like $75
right? On Valentine's Day?
It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, okay. So they're going to be, so for how much?
Well, I think it's like $50. Right, so this is my point. And you know how they have Thrasher Presents their, like, $5 low-dose shows every week?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Thursday night show is none other than Supernova. So
I'm trying to
find out if it's, like, someone trying to change the same name, you know, because I know there was all that name confusion Rockstar and Rockstar Supernova.
Are
they really playing two shows, one at $50 and one at $5,
I can tell you which one would be a better use of your money. I'll guarantee you. I mean, I haven't looked it up, but I'll guarantee you what it is. Is that the $50 one is Rockstar Supernova, and then the $5 one is that band Supernova that got their name back in the paper because of the lawsuit with Mark Burnett. I'll guarantee you that's what it is. That those guys are cashing.
And just riding the coattail.
Oh yeah, you got to cash in while the cash in's good.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Del Paxton. There you go. It's Amanda. Amanda, hug and kiss. Lady, that's funny to no one but me, and I don't care.
Oh, no, I have a friend named Amanda Heck.
Really?
It's Amanda, hug and kiss. Yeah,
yeah, I love that. All right, Tim Riley, are you ready to do the top five?
I am, yes.
No, Tim Riley. Are you ready to do the top five?
Yes.
Four,
thanks. We'll just cut it off at two.
Stop pestering Tim.
No, I was going to do a whole lot. No, I didn't hear you. I'm really caffeinated today.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is
It seems like it's been months.
Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness.
Counting is ecstasy.
I love to count, don't you?
Booyah! Ladies and gentlemen, where is your God now? He is to my left. He's Tim Riley with the top five.
And as we plunge out of rain into 2007, we take time to reset our priorities, our commitments, and our vows.
Bam.
Including one neglected for far too long. My lane, start getting to the top five. So let's start things off with a bang, or in this case, a scream. These are the top five rock and roll screams of all time, with honorable mention going to Sam Kinison with Wild Thing.
For the newly single.
Oh, we all got some kind of wild thing that went through our lives and made it hell. Because everybody's had one, you, me, nobody likes those. And you know she's out there laughing at you. I don't care if it was last week or third grade. Someone broke your heart. What was her name?
I miss him so much. This is honorable mention because he's not really a rock star. but he's a rock star here. This ends with probably the best scream on the list, but... Sam Kinison. I miss him to this day. Doesn't get any better than that. Here's Tim Riley.
At number five is Iron Maiden with Number of the Beast.
I left alone.
Top five rock and roll screams as determined by me, Rick Emerson.
I needed time to think, to get the memories from my mind. What did I see? Can I believe?
Come on.
That what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy.
Seeing that they build to it here. They don't start the song with the scream. I cut off that whole spoken word intro, but... Wait for it. Goddamn fantastic. Counting down the top five rock and roll screams of all time. Tim Riley.
Number four, Janis Joplin with A Piece of My Heart.
Goddamn, I hate Janis Joplin. But... I know if I didn't put her on the list, I'd be crucified. I really find Janis Joplin terribly tiresome.
I bet she never washed her hair.
Doesn't she look like she just smells... Wait. Doesn't she look like she smells like old peanut butter? And in all the wrong places. Smells like a bunch of crushed up... Smells like a bunch of crushed up wheat thins and dirt. And then we get this, because her songs are like one big-ass scream. That's the thing. It's sort of an ongoing scream with her. Top five rock and roll screams here.
And number three is quite...
No, we're not done yet. No. I have to pay it off. Because if I didn't pay it off, the audience would storm me with pitchforks. I see now the error of my ways in not editing this more judiciously. Here it is. Now that sucks. I don't know why I put that at number three or four. Yeah, F this. That should have been way down there like number nine. What was I thinking?
I'm surprised they didn't use it for a 401k plan.
Stop that now. Oh, no, totally. No. Piece of my... What would that be? Piece of My Heart would be a jingle for, but they'd change it. It would be like the piece of my man. Have another little piece of my... Have another little piece of this pie now, baby. And it would be like a Marie Callender jingle.
Yeah.
I got to work on that. All right, we're doing the top five rock and roll screams of all time.
I noticed a whole lot of Love by Led Zeppelin's not on here.
No. Well, should it be?
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's a pretty good scream. Anyway, number two, The Beatles and Twist and Shout.
You skipped number three.
Number three, quite right. Let me help. I'm sorry. Okay. Rewind.
Worst top five ever. Right here, Kevin DeBrat, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty impressive. Let's hear that one more time. Just... I think there's another one at the end of the song he does. We won't listen all the way through.
The same idea.
Boy, what a great record this is. They just ended up cloning this one album over to sort of the Boston syndrome, where they had the one big album and the one big single, and then they just cloned it over and over and over again. But man, this is such Metal Health. This was such a fantastic record. The first metal album ever to go number one in America. And then he has this great sort of raspy snarl that he does here, kind of a
grinder, aisle driver. Mama says that I never mind her.
I don't care what anybody says. This record is fantastic.
I'm insane.
Lungs of leather, this guy.
I'm like a laser. Six-ring razor. I got a mouth like
I can karaoke this record all the way through, front to back. I say impressing no one. Right here with a... fantastic. Counting the top five rock and roll screams.
Number two, Beatles with Twist and Shout.
Listen to how great that is. Now it's so good it almost hurts to listen to it. It's just perfect. It's flawless. This song is about as close to perfection as you can get. And then this whole last 60 seconds is just one big John Lennon full-on scream. I'd like to have a station that just plays this all day. Counting down the top five rock and roll screams of all time with Jim Riley.
And at number one, The Who, and I Won't Be Fooled Again.
Great buildup on this, too. For the longest time, this is what what Kiss used to signify the moments when the light went off and the curtain dropped. They took the stage to the scream for a long time. The scream would happen, and then all the lights would go off in the auditorium. We'll take this out, and in fact, we'll go out with Sam Kinison again, because he's dead, and I miss him. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show, back after this with Tim Riley and Peter Carlin. Don't go anywhere.